Okay, get this, you ready? Today we're becoming experts. Experts on something called the Data Privacy Framework.
DPF.
The DPF, right?
Yep.
It's basically like Privacy Shield 2.0, right?
Right.
Kind of a big deal for anyone doing business with Europe.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we've got some intel straight from the source.
Oh, nice.
The American Arbitration Association's International Center for Dispute Resolution.
All right. The ICDR.
The ICDR, they are, like, I don't know, the Supreme Court of Data Squabbles.
That's a great analogy. Yeah.
So we're in good hands, ready to dive in.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. So rewind.
Okay.
What even was this Privacy Shield thing?
Right.
And why did Europe just, like, toss it out?
Yeah. So the Privacy Shield, it was, it was an agreement between the U.S. and the EU.
Okay.
That basically tried to make sure that companies could move personal data back and forth without, like, you know, too much trouble.
Right.
But the EU's highest court, they basically said, hold on, this isn't really cutting it.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't convinced that, that privacy protections in the U.S. were strong enough to meet their standards.
So it's like, Europe's like, we need more than a pinky promise, guys.
Exactly. Exactly. They take data protection very seriously.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
And so that's where this DPF steps in. It's like attempt number two at getting this whole, you know, transatlantic data thing right.
So the DPF is like the sequel, hopefully with fewer plot holes.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
But, okay, but what problem does it actually solve?
Right.
Like, why should I care if I'm not, you know, running some giant company?
That's a great question. And honestly, it affects everybody. It's not just big businesses. Think about it. Every time you shop online, use social media, you're leaving this trail of data.
Right.
And the DPF, it's trying to make sure that data is handled responsibly no matter where it ends up.
So it's about protecting my data.
Exactly.
Yeah, your data.
Not just some big corporation thing. Right. And to understand why this is such a big deal, we need to talk about GDPR.
Okay, the GDPR vaguely rings a bell.
The General Data Protection Regulation.
It's like a rule book, right?
It's more than a rule book. It's like their digital constitution.
Oh, wow.
It's arguably the world's strongest data protection law.
Okay.
And any company that wants to do business with the EU has to play by their rules.
So what happens if a U.S. company doesn't follow the rules? Like, they accidentally spill my data all over the internet? Like, do they get a slap on the wrist? Or is it more serious?
Well, let's just say the EU does not mess around.
Okay.
When it comes to data protection. We're talking about fines up to 20 million euros or 4% of a company's global annual revenue, whichever is higher.
Whoa, 4% of global revenue.
Yeah.
Suddenly a slap on the wrist sounds much better.
Right. That's a huge incentive for companies to get their act together.
Yeah.
The DPF basically gives them a roadmap, a way to prove they're handling data responsibly, you know, complying with those tough GDPR rules.
So it's not just about avoiding these massive fines. It's about creating a system where businesses can operate, you know, smoothly, but still respect people's privacy.
Exactly. Finding that sweet spot between innovation and protection. But it's not just about companies jumping through hoops. There are tangible benefits for individuals, too.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What's in it for me?
Right.
The average, you know, internet user, besides, you know, not having my data plastered all over the dark web.
Right. Well, for starters, the DPF gives you more control over your own data. Mm. You have the right to know what information companies are collecting, how they're using it, who they're sharing it with. You can even ask them to delete your data in certain circumstances.
Wait, seriously, I can just tell a company to, like, delete all my data.
Yeah.
That's kind of empowering, actually.
So it is. The DPF puts you in the driver's seat when it comes to your information. But let's get into the nitty-gritty of what companies actually need to do to join this, you know, data privacy club.
Yeah, let's unpack that. What are some of the steps a company has to take to get this DPF seal of approval?
All right. Well, first things first.
Yeah.
They need to confirm they're even eligible, right? The program is only open to U.S. organizations that are under the jurisdiction of the FTC or the Department of Transportation.
Okay.
So not just any, you know, mom and pop shop qualifies.
Right. Going to have some ground rules.
Exactly.
What else?
One of those important steps is creating a clear and understandable privacy policy.
Yeah. Not the dreaded privacy policy.
Yeah.
Those things are longer than War and Peace and written in, like, some secret legal code.
I hear you. We've all been there, right? But under the DPF, companies can't just hide behind confusing legal jargon. They actually have to explain in plain English how they're collecting, using, and protecting your data.
So no more needing a law degree to understand what you're agreeing to.
Exactly. It's about transparency, putting individuals back in control.
I like where this is going. What other hoops do companies have to jump through?
Well, this is where it gets a bit more technical. They need to implement specific data security measures, provide mechanisms for individuals to access and correct their data.
Hold on. Before we go full on tech talk.
Sure.
I have a question. What happens if a company messes up?
Yeah.
Like they try to pull a fast one and, I don't know, sell my data to some shady marketing firm.
Right.
What are the consequences?
That's a great question. That's where the independent recourse mechanism comes in, or IRM.
Okay. Independent recourse mechanism. That sounds intriguing, but also a little intimidating.
Okay.
Break it down for me. What is it?
It's basically a way to resolve data disputes outside of the traditional court system. So if you think a company has mishandled your data, you can file a complaint with the IRM and they'll investigate and try to resolve the issue.
So it's like a neutral third party that steps in and like mediates.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And what's really cool is that the ICDR, the organization we mentioned earlier, they can actually be the IRM for companies that are part of the DPF.
Wait, seriously? So they're not just experts on data disputes. They actually like get involved in resolving them.
They do. They do. And that's why their involvement in the DPF is such a big deal. They bring this level of expertise and credibility that's really important in this whole data privacy landscape.
Okay. I'm starting to see why they're like the heavy hitters in this field. But before we get too deep into the ICDR's role, let's take a minute to digest all this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we've covered a lot of ground already. You know, we've gone from international agreements to shady marketing firms to independent recourse mechanisms. It's a lot of process.
It is. And we're just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
But the key takeaway here is that data privacy isn't just some, you know, abstract concept. It affects all of us in very real ways.
Yeah.
And the DPF, along with organizations like the ICDR, are trying to create a system that protects our rights while still allowing for, you know, innovation and progress.
Okay, so before we got a little lost in the weeds there, we were about to venture into the territory of arbitration.
Right.
Which, I gotta say, sounds kind of like, you know, something out of courtroom drama.
Yeah.
Is it as intense as it sounds?
Not necessarily. It might seem formal, but arbitration is actually designed to be a lot more efficient and less adversarial than a traditional court case, like taking a shortcut through the legal maze, so to speak.
Okay, so less gavel banging, more problem solving.
Exactly, yeah. In a nutshell, it's about having a neutral third party, called an arbitrator, help resolve a dispute. So instead of judges and juries, you've got an expert who listens to both sides and then makes a binding decision.
So it's like having a referee for data disagreements.
Yeah.
But what makes the ICDR such a good fit for this whole, you know, for this role specifically in the DPF world?
Well, remember, the ICDR, they have this global reputation for handling really complex international disputes. And data privacy is no exception. They've developed these really specific rules and procedures for dealing with data privacy issues. And they have a roster of arbitrators that are, well, they're kind of rock stars in this field.
So they're like the all-star team of data dispute resolution.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And their expertise is particularly valuable when you think about the challenges of, you know, transatlantic data transfers. We're talking about different legal systems, different cultural norms, different expectations around privacy. It's a lot to navigate.
You know, it's making me realize that data privacy isn't just about, you know, hackers and passwords.
Right.
It's this whole legal ecosystem.
It is.
With its own, like, intricate rules and players. It's like a global game of chess, and the ICDR is, like, grandmaster level.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And speaking of chess moves, let's bring it back to how arbitration actually fits into the DPF from the IRS.
Right. The independent recourse mechanism.
The independent recourse mechanism. Yep.
The safety net for when companies...
Yeah, when they mess up.
Mess up, yeah.
Exactly. Well, arbitration is one of the tools that the IRM can actually use to settle disputes.
Mm-hmm.
So if a company and an individual, they can't agree on how a data issue should be handled, they can turn to an arbitrator. Mm-hmm. And this arbitrator, you know, they act like a neutral judge. It's kind of the final step in the process when all else fails.
So it's not like you can just, like, cry arbitration every time you're, like, you know, mildly annoyed with a website's cookie policy.
No, not quite. It's reserved for more serious situations where a resolution can't be reached through, you know, other means, like good old-fashioned communication or mediation. But, you know, it's good to know that that mechanism is there as a last resort.
Okay, so the IRM can, like, you know, call in the ICDRs, like, you know, arbitration experts if things get really heated.
Exactly.
That definitely adds another layer of accountability to this whole DPF system.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that makes this DPF so robust. You know, mm-hmm. it's not just about setting rules. It's about having mechanisms in place to actually enforce those rules and make sure individuals have recourse if their rights are violated.
You know, this whole conversation is making me think about, like, my digital footprint.
Yeah.
Like, I'm suddenly very aware of all the data that I'm, like, generating every day just by, like, browsing the web and using apps. It's kind of mind-boggling.
It is. And that's why, you know, awareness is so important.
Yeah.
The more we understand about how our data is being collected and used and shared, the better equipped we are to, you know, protect our privacy, make informed choices.
Right. It's not about, like, you know, becoming paranoid or, like, disconnecting from the digital world altogether. It's about being, like, informed and engaged.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about the DPF's rules, the importance of GDPR, the ICDRs, you know, arbitration expertise, and the role of the IRM. That's a lot to digest.
It is.
So where does all of this leave us? You know, like, us, the everyday internet users.
Well, at the end of the day, the DPF is really about building trust.
Yeah.
You know, it's about creating a system where companies can innovate, they can do business globally, while still respecting, you know, our fundamental right to privacy.
So it's not just about, like, compliance and legalities. It's about creating, like, a digital environment where we can all feel a little more secure and a little less, like, our data is just, like, floating around out there in the ether.
Exactly. Exactly. And that peace of mind is invaluable. But it's not just about relying on systems and frameworks. You know, we have a role to play, too.
What do you mean? Beyond, like, you know, reading those endless privacy policies, of course.
Right. Well, for starters, we can start by being more mindful of our own, you know, data habits.
Right.
Like, what information are we sharing? And with whom? Do we really need to have location tracking turned on for, you know, every single app? Are we reading those privacy policies before we just click agree?
Okay, so a little bit of digital self-reflection is in order.
Exactly.
But what about the, like, the bigger picture?
Yeah.
Like, how do we make sure that data privacy stays, like, a priority in our, like, increasingly data-driven world?
That's where things get really interesting. We need to keep pushing for stronger privacy protections, both here in the U.S. and globally.
Mm.
And, you know, that means supporting organizations that are fighting the good fight, like the ICDR. And holding companies accountable for their actions.
So it's a combination of, like, you know, individual responsibility and collective action.
Yeah.
It sounds like the DPF and the ICDR are, like, you know, important pieces of the puzzle.
Yes.
But they're not the whole solution.
They're not the whole solution. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And it requires all of us to be, you know, informed, engaged, and maybe even a little bit vocal about our right to privacy.
I love that. Okay, this has been incredibly eye-opening, and I have to admit, I'm feeling a lot more empowered to navigate the digital world now. But before we wrap up, I have one last question for you. If you could wave a magic wand, right, and design, like, the perfect system for data privacy, what would it look like?
Ooh, that's a fantastic question. And one that keeps, you know, data privacy experts up at night. The ideal system, I think, it would strike a balance between, you know, security, innovation, and individual rights.
Yeah.
It's about finding that sweet spot where we can protect our privacy without, you know, stifling progress.
So it's not about, like, building digital fortresses and locking away all our data.
Not at all. Data can be a powerful force for good, but we need to be thoughtful and intentional about how we, you know, how we collect it, how we use it, how we share it. For me, the perfect system, it would prioritize transparency and consent above all else.
So no more, like, sneaky data collection practices.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, confusing privacy policies.
Exactly. Individuals, they should have a clear understanding of how their data is being used. They should have meaningful choice about how it's handled.
Mm.
And companies should be held accountable for, you know, for respecting those choices.
That sounds amazing. But how do we get from, like, where we are now to, like, this data privacy utopia?
Well, it's a journey, not a destination, right?
Right.
We need to keep pushing for stronger regulations, demanding greater accountability from companies, and empowering individuals to take control of their own data.
I'm sensing a theme here. It's a collective effort.
It is.
And we all have a role to play.
Absolutely. And, you know, the more we learn, the more we talk about data privacy, the better equipped we'll be to shape the digital world we want to live in.
I couldn't agree more. Well, this has been a fascinating deep dive into the world of data privacy. We've covered a lot of ground, from the inner workings of the DPF to the, you know, the crucial role of the ICDR. And I have to say, I'm feeling a lot more informed and, dare I say, optimistic about the future of data privacy.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, you know, knowledge is power. The more we understand about these issues, the better we can advocate for ourselves and for a digital world that respects our privacy.
Well said. But before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought. We've talked a lot about, you know, rules and regulations and frameworks, but at the heart of it all, data privacy is really about something much deeper, right? It's about trust, respect, and this fundamental right to control our own information in a world that's increasingly reliant on data.
Absolutely. It's about recognizing that our data is an extension of ourselves,
yeah,
and it deserves to be treated with care and respect.
And as technology continues to evolve, like at lightning speed, it's more important than ever that we stay vigilant and keep those values front and center.
Couldn't agree more. You know, it's a conversation that we need to keep having both individually and collectively.
Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the data privacy framework. We hope you've learned something new and feel empowered to take control of your own data.
It's been a pleasure. And remember, stay informed, stay engaged, and never stop advocating for your right to privacy.
Yeah.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's it for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into a fascinating topic. Until then, stay curious, folks. Okay, so we've covered a ton of ground on this data privacy journey, but where can our listener go if they, you know, if they want to learn more? Like, I'm betting they're fired up and ready to like dig in even deeper now.
Absolutely. And thankfully, you know, there's no shortage of resources out there. A great starting point would be the ICDR's website.
Yeah.
They have a whole section dedicated to their data privacy framework services.
Makes sense. They're the pros. What about for folks who want, like, you know, the official lowdown on the DPF itself?
Yeah, the U.S. Department of Commerce has got you covered. They have a dedicated DPF website with all the details on the program, the principles behind it, how companies can get on board.
Perfect. We'll definitely link to both of those in the show notes.
But beyond websites, like, what advice would you give someone who's, you know, who's just starting to think more seriously about, you know, their data privacy?
Honestly, one of the most powerful things you can do is simply start paying attention. Like, the next time you download an app or sign up for a service, take a minute to actually read the privacy policy.
Yeah.
I know. Easier said than done.
Right.
But even skimming it can give you a sense of how your data is being used.
Yeah, all right. Those things are usually designed to put us to sleep, but maybe with the DPF pushing for more clarity, it won't be such a chore. Anything else we can do to be more proactive?
Absolutely. Think about your device settings.
Right.
Do you really need, you know, location tracking on for every single app?
Mm-hmm.
Are you comfortable with those, you know, personalized ads following you around the internet? Take some time to customize your privacy settings and make sure they, you know, align with your comfort level.
So it's about taking back control, like, one setting at a time.
Exactly.
I like it.
And don't be afraid to ask questions. You know, if you're not sure how a company is using your data, reach out to their customer support. It's your information and you have a right to know.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Sometimes we forget that we actually have a voice in this whole data privacy conversation.
We do. We absolutely do.
Yeah.
And don't underestimate the power of collective action, you know. Support organizations that are fighting for stronger privacy protections and let your elected officials know that you care about these issues.
So it's about, like, you know, individual awareness, but also, like, you know, using our voices to push for change on a larger scale.
Right.
I think that's a really empowering message to end on.
It is.
Well, this has been an incredibly insightful deep dive into the world of data privacy. We've learned about how the DPF works, the crucial role of the ICDR, and honestly, I'm walking away feeling a lot more informed and, dare I say, optimistic about the future of data privacy.
I'm glad to hear that. And remember, you know, stay curious, stay engaged, and never stop advocating for your right to privacy.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us today.
It's been my pleasure.
And, you know, to all our listeners out there, we hope you learn something new and feel empowered to take control of your own data. That's it for this deep dive. We'll catch you next time for another deep dive into a fascinating topic. Until then, stay curious, folks.